Dr. Ming Wang is a Harvard and MIT graduate and one of the few laser eye surgeons in the world who holds a doctorate degree in laser physics. The film Sight, the first-generation Chinese-American immigrant film in American mainstream media, is based on Dr. Wang's autobiography, From Darkness to Sight. As a teenager, he fought poverty and hardship in China. And he came to America with only $50 in his pocket and knew very little English. But he saw nothing but opportunity and earned two doctorate degrees, one in laser physics and one in medicine. He graduated with the highest honors from Harvard Medical School and MIT, magna cum laude. The amniotic membrane contact lens, which Dr. Wang invented and holds two U.S. patents for, has been used by tens of thousands of eye doctors around the world, and millions of patients have had their eyesight restored through his discovery. In addition, the Wang Foundation for Sight Restoration has helped patients from over 40 states in the U.S. and 55 countries with all sight restoration surgeries performed free of charge. Dr. Wang was named the Kiwanis Nashvillian of the Year for his lifelong dedication to help blind orphan children from around the world. Dr. Wang, again, thank you so much for sharing your time and your story with our K-Love family.
Thank you, Crystal, once again for the opportunity to be on your K-Love show. I was born in China during a period called Cultural Revolution. From 1966 to 76, the government shut down all universities and colleges of entire China and forcefully deported to some of the poorest part of the country and condemned each of the high school graduate to hard labor and poverty for life. So over 10 years of Cultural Revolution from 66 to 76, they sent away to labor camp for life 20 million high school graduates. In 1974, I was 14 and I finished my junior high and I was not allowed to go to senior high school because government wanted to send me to labor camp as well. To avoid the devastating fate of being sent away to labor camp, I have to pick up a Chinese violin called erhu to play and also have to learn dance. Because if I could do that, I might be able to get into the government song and dance propaganda troupe, therefore avoid being sent away to labor camp. That actually did not work, but got lucky. 1976 rolled around, Cultural Revolution ended, and China reopened its door of colleges for the first time in 10 years. As in the film Sight, you see that my parents told me that, Ming, you might be able to go back to school. I thought I would never be able to hear that. I thought junior high, that's all I got to attend school. And they told me I have to jump 3 years ahead overnight to graduating class in senior high because they were afraid government may change their mind again, shut down college again for the next 10 years. So I had to study very hard. And fortunately, with the help of my parents, I got into university in science and technology in China to study chemical physics and laser physics. In 1982, with $50 borrowed from a visiting American professor, I came to America to study a PhD in laser physics at the University of Maryland and finished postdoc at MIT. I also wanted to go to medical school to become a doctor. So I thought, well, I was in a free country now. I should be able to realize my dream. And actually, when I applied for medical school in this country, I was discriminated. And a professor told me, admission director said, you're Chinese, you're no good, you have no chance getting to medical school. It's hard to get into medical school, even for someone who was born here. You are from another country, China, you have no chance. Fortunately, I did not listen to him. I worked even harder. After postdoc at MIT in 1991, at 87, I got enrolled at Harvard Medical School and MIT joined MD program. And in 1991, I graduated, got the first place. It was with my graduation thesis, MD, magna cum laude. And I was very grateful to my parents who have helped me in those critical period of time during Cultural Revolution. So I invited them over. Actually, the film Sight has been dedicated to my parents. The reason I got two doctorate degrees, one in laser physics, one in medicine, is because medicine is so technologically developed. So most of the doctors have an MD degree, but almost none also have a PhD degree, second doctorate degree in laser physics. And so I wanted to be a unique laser eye surgeon. That's why I got two doctorate degrees, one MD and one PhD in laser physics. I have performed over 55,000 laser vision corrections now, including over 4,000 doctors. Actually, I got to meet President Ronald Reagan at the White House then. As a Christian As an immigrant, as someone who's fortunate to be able to find freedom and faith in America, what I have been doing in trying to develop a purpose for my life, a purpose-driven life. And I want to talk about five purposes that I think as a Christian that God wants me to do. One is to share. All of us, especially Christians, we need to share what we have with the rest of the world. Share our knowledge with others. One is, over 20-some years, I have published 10 textbooks to teach eye surgeons from around the world to improve their weak area, which is technology. Another example sharing is that I have developed the amniotic membrane contact lens, a technology that can actually restore eyesight in some of the blind patients. And I decided to share. So I put my patent online and donated my technology to the world. Actually, over 20-some year period, I went to about 50-some countries and free of charge, taught over 10,000 eye doctors how to use the new technology. Today, as shown in the film site, amniotic membrane contact lens now has been used by eye doctors from nearly every nation around the world, and millions of patients have had eyesight restored. And it's actually a $5 billion industry today. Even though I did not make any money myself because I donated my patent in the beginning, but I'm happy to do what I believe God wants us to do, to share. And second is to remember. I think all of us, whether you're immigrant or not, we all have a past. How do we always remember our roots, but at the same time being able to embrace present and future? As an example of remembering, remember I mentioned I have to play the Chinese violin, Erhu, during Cultural Revolution, escape labor camp. Now I play it to remember my cultural roots. So to share and to remember. The third is to progress. As a human being, as a Christian especially, I think God wants us to help progress human knowledge so we can improve the quality of our lives. In the film Sai, you see a 5-year-old Kajal, an Indian orphan who was intentionally blinded by her own stepmother, who pours sulfuric acid in Kajal's eyes one night when Kajal was sleeping, in an attempt to make Kajal a blind orphan child singer who then could get money from tourists on the streets. Kajal was maliciously blinded, but then she was found to have no talent of singing, so she was abandoned. So the film Sight is about Kajal's remarkable journey to try to come from darkness to light. I really buckled down and fully engaged myself trying to restore Kajal's eyesight and trying to remove these scars. You know who don't scar? An unborn child does not scar. As a matter of fact, all of us before birth, we have the ability to heal without scar. After birth, we take on a new ability, hearing with scar. So I want to do research to figure out how the unborn child can heal without scar. Therefore, I can help patient like Kajal. But can you do research on the unborn child without hurting a fetus life? And they say there's no common ground between faith and science. Is that really true? In today's time with artificial intelligence, genetic engineering, stem cell, and science and faith are so polarized, it seems there's no common ground. But we need to do this research. And at the same time, we need to protect life. Is that possible? What does God want us to do? Well, that leads us to the number four purpose that I've developed for myself is to find. I mentioned to share our knowledge, to remember our roots, to progress human knowledge, and number four is to find a common ground based on our shared humanity. You see, we live in a nation, America, that is so increasingly polarized. We're so increasingly fixated on differences rather than appreciating what we all have in common as fellow Americans. We're so increasingly unable to work across political aisles, racial divides, and ethnic divisions to solve the problems that we really need to solve in America today. Gun violence, opioid crisis, environmental disaster, racial tension, poverty, education, jobs, healthcare. But we're not going to be able to solve this problem to restore America unless we can overcome our polarization and find the common ground. So finding common ground is the number four purpose that I have developed for my life. With my pastor, Dr. Rice Brooks, we have established a nonprofit organization to help all of us to find the common ground in an increasingly divided nation. Common ground is not a compromise. Common ground is the seeking of truth. And we have established the common ground seeking steps, STEPS. S, see the common ground. You got to be willing to see. If you're unwilling to see, oh, you're black, you're white, you're Latino, you're Asian, you're willing to see the common ground, you'll never be able to find it. T, trading places. As an eye doctor, I learned the best way to take care of your eyes is to look at the world through your perspective. So to speaking the language of the listener. E, empathy. Today, when we meet someone with different opinions, what we do as Americans, we sometimes shout and yelling and demonizing the other side. But instead of that, can we take on SALT principle, S-A-L-T. S, start a conversation. A, ask a question. L, listen. And then and only then, T, talk. P, persevere, pay the price. If it's the right thing to do, there's a price to pay. And finally, S is seeking common ground, actually putting the action. Do you know who inspired us to formulate this common ground seeking steps? It's none other than Jesus Christ himself. The Bible is full of stories how Christ has set the best example for all of us to be the best common ground seekers. S, he saw the common ground with us as human beings. T, he traded places with us by becoming one of us. E, he demonstrated empathy even to people in the lowest rung of society. You know that in the Bible that women by the well, nobody wants to talk to her. Christ did. P, he paid the ultimate price by dying for our sin at the cross. And final S, he saw the common ground with us as human beings. He put it into action. So to overcome our polarization, to find the common ground once again in our country is to follow Jesus Christ. We even wrote a common ground Bible study to show that number one is a mandate by Christ to all of us Christians to be the best common ground seekers, to love each other despite the differences. But also Bible teaches us through different Bible stories, scriptures, how to find the common ground. So returning to the problem of science and faith is a common ground issue, and trying to figure out how the unborn child can heal without scar, but doing research at the same time without hurting the baby's life. And I started praying, and I realized God wanted, James 1:4 says, perseverance complete you. So I did not give up. I believe God was going to show us the way. Eventually, an idea came that perhaps we can use the placenta, the amniotic membrane. You see, before birth, every one of us is surrounded by the amniotic membrane. And after birth, we lose that membrane protection. So maybe it's the amniotic membrane that bears the secret of helping an unborn child to heal without scar. So I went to hospital, got lots of the placentas from mothers after giving birth to children. The placentas discarded anyway. So I brought this placenta in the laboratory, did a research, eventually developed the amniotic membrane contact lens. When we put this fetal healing contact lenses onto injured eyes, indeed, miracle happened. Scars reduced, eyesight restored. And you know the best part? This membrane, we used the fetal membrane, we did not hurt any part of the baby. So then I asked myself, did I really invent the amniotic membrane contact lens? I concluded, no. Because I did not invent the placenta, I did not invent the amniotic membrane. God did. As a scientist and as a Christian, I was just privileged to be given by God an opportunity to catch a little glimpse of part of his original creation. So I decided, you know, the credit needs to go where credit belongs. So I decided to donate my technology to the world. I put my patents online and let everyone in the world knows about it and learn how. And also, over a 20-some year period, I went to about 50-some countries and free of charge, taught over 10,000 eye doctors how to use it. And millions of patients have their eyesight restored. Even though I did not make any money myself, it's a $5 billion industry now, but I'm happy that I follow Christ's example and his wish that is I shared, especially as an immigrant. I want to do what I can to pay back to America, a country that has given me the freedom and also faith. I live in Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, USA. We have One Vision Institute, and we have some of the best technology in the world because my dual training in medicine and a PhD in laser physics. And we have an international surgeon teaching center here in Nashville, Tennessee, One Vision Institute. We perform the state's first all-laser LASIK, state's first SMILE, small incision LASIK, and also state's first laser cataract surgery, and also the world's first laser artificial cornea implantation, and the United States' first INTEX for treating advanced keratoconus, and also state's first cross-linking for treating keratoconus US FDA clinical trial. And finally, a new technology, the state's first scleral spacing to treat older eyes, presbyopia, which also we are serving a US FDA clinical trial site. As human beings, we have five human prescription conditions that affects all of us: myopia, hyperopia, astigmatism, presbyopia, the reading difficulty as we get older, and the cataract. In year 2025, I have great news to report to you all. We have conquered all five. We can treat nearsightedness, farsightedness, astigmatism, presbyopia, and cataract now. All five. Do you know that LASIK surgery is going out of date? LASIK surgery is becoming obsolete now. It's now being replaced by even better technology called SMILE, small incision LASIK. If you wear contact lenses and you don't want to have to remove at bedtime, I've got technology to put the contact lens inside your eyes. You never need to remove it. And you never need glasses to drive. You never need reading glasses. And you will never develop cataract. But do you know what percentage of cataract surgery in America today is performed by laser? The answer may surprise you. Only 5% by laser. 95% today in America, cataract surgery are still performed by blade. These top four technology are only used by less than 5% of US surgeons today. 95% are still using old blade technology. Here in Nashville, Tennessee, One Vision Institute, now we have patients from over 40 states and 55 countries. So I talk about to share what we have, to remember our roots, to progress human knowledge, to find common ground. Last purpose I've developed for myself is to help those who need the most help. That's why I established the One Vision Foundation for Sight Restoration. Remember I said in Cultural Revolution, I had to learn dancing to escape labor camp. Now I convert that dancing skill to help my medical charity. I established the eyeball. When it comes to eyeball, you see the beautiful dancing. But the point is that remind you how precious our sight is as human beings. Because without eyesight, we cannot see all the beautiful things in life. And finally, as an Asian American, as an immigrant, I believe we have the duty to participate in American mainstream society to help America, to restore America, to build up America. As a Christian, I have my favorite testimonial at churches. Almost every month, I've given this testimonial to over 150 churches now. Faith and science have common ground. So we need both science, the necessary condition, and the faith, the sufficient condition. Science gives us the tools, faith gives us the purpose we're going to use the tools for. In my specific case, God wants me to use the science, the years of studying, two doctorate degrees. The purpose is to help those who need the most help, which are blind orphan children. So after 10 years of making the film Sight, it was actually rejected by all top 10 Hollywood film distributors, both on the theatrical side and the digital side. Citing, number one, they are not that interested in Christian films, but also that as a Chinese American film, it doesn't have the kung fu and stuff. So it looked like the film was going to be buried. However, I decided to fight that. And I took the film around the country, conducted an unprecedented in US history, a film free tour by the subject of the film. Over 365 days, I traveled to 40 states in America, conducted 500 free film shows to 50,000 Americans. In February 2024, God answered our prayer, and Angie Studios stepped up and decided to distribute the film. The film was distributed in America theaters in the summer of 2024 for 3 months. Now it's on Angie Studio streaming service, angie.com/sight. It's a film especially for our next generation to help them appreciate what they have in America and be more motivated and work harder. So in summary, I've talked about sight and what I've been trying to develop a purpose-driven life for myself. I believe God want us to live a life which is purpose-driven. Five specific purposes I developed for myself. Number one, to share our knowledge with others. Number two, to remember our roots. Number three, to progress human knowledge so we can improve the quality of lives. Number four, to find common ground in a very divided America. And number five, to help those who need the most help. And if you say, Dr. Wang, what is the single most important inspiration behind these five purposes? What is one vision that inspired you to build these five specific purposes for life? And that vision, that inspiration, is one and only given by Christ. That is, I think as a human being, I'm lucky to have a few decades walk on this planet and to participate in human society. So I think ultimate purpose is, as a Christian, God want me to help do what I can to help make the world a little better place to live.
You have quite the testimony, Dr. Wang. And God has been in the center of it all even before you became a Christian. Now, you say you came to the U.S., you were an atheist. Our listeners may recall the video of the movie God Is Not Dead. And in that video, the Chinese student who found Christ is inspired by your life. How did you come to know Christ?
Yes, just like in the film, God's Not Dead, the cute Chinese student who went from atheist to believer, that was me. Notice how I used the word cute. Well, actually, when they found the actor who played me, they sent me a picture from Hollywood. They said, hey, man, we got a guy to play you. And I look at your cell phone, sent to me by my pastor, Dr. Rice Brooks, and who actually wrote the original. And I look at the film, the photo, and I said, oh, at least it's better looking, the guy who played me. Well, I came to America from China, surviving Cultural Revolution. I was an atheist. I was interested only in science because I fought so hard to have a chance to study science, and it was not distracting me, just like the student in movie God's Not Dead. But then it was the study of human eye at Harvard Medical School where my atheist worldview got into trouble. I realized the human eye is so complicated. It is simply not possible. The eye can form so nearly perfectly most of the time, every single time nearly, and because most of us can are born who can see with random collisions, as atheists believe. So I was in trouble. My world atheist view was in trouble in the study of the eye. So I kept on asking a professor. So finally, he took me out to lunch. He was a Christian, turned out. He did not tell me at the time. And he said, Ming, what's a cross street? I said, oh, that's a car. He said, okay, what's the difference between a car and a human eye? I said, oh, human eye is a lot more complicated. He said, okay, can you imagine a pile of random pieces of metal on the street form itself into a car? I said, oh, no way. He said, how about human eye? Right then, he opened a window in my life, making me realize that the reason the human eye is so complicated, but yet can form nearly perfectly most of the time, is because it did not form out of the randomness, as atheists believe. It was formed with a purpose, and that purpose is vision. So there's a creator behind it. And of course, going from that to eventually recognize the creator has a name in Jesus Christ, and took me several more years, as described in my autobiography, From Darkness to Sight.
That is the best analogy of how to prove God's existence that I've ever heard. Thank you so much for everything that you have done. Tell me about the eyeball. Do you still put that on every year?
First of all, what I've done, everything, credit goes to Christ. As I said, without his inspiration of me, that actually looking back, he took care of me, even during Cultural Revolution in China.
Yes.
So they're protecting me. So I have the opportunity to study now. Eyeball, well, we have to stop during the COVID, and now we are going to resume. As a matter of fact, January 21st, Tuesday night here in Nashville at the Steinway Piano Gallery, we have a eyeball concert. And I do that once a year and play my Chinese violin, Erhu, and to express my appreciation to America and to God.
I've always considered myself a unifier as well. I would love for you to share just maybe one thing that we can do to kind of change that culture to love our neighbor as Christ asks us to do.
We, as human beings, we're emotional animals. We're a big emotional elephant, 90%, only 10% logical. So the best way to help us is to get a taste of lives of people who still today do not have freedom. So I encourage all of us, all my fellow Americans, to listen, to watch film, to read stories of people from around the world who some of many of them today, even today, still do not have freedom. Because division that we are suffering today in America is a symptom reflecting a deep problem. My diagnosis of why we have division and polarization today, we have taken what we have in America for granted. Because we always have freedom here, so human nature is that when we always have something, we could take it for granted. So the root cause of our division is our lack of appreciation of America. Only by redeveloping the appreciation of America can we have a chance to overcome our polarization and find the common ground. Loving this country, loving America is not just something we say or just sing a national anthem is enough. That's not enough. Loving America has to be proved by an action, show that we truly love this country, and that action proving that we truly love America, want to restore America, is are we willing to overcome our polarization and to find the common ground once again to solve America's problem?
You reminded me of a mission trip that I took to Haiti. Going on that mission trip made me appreciate what we have in the United States. Kajal, the little girl in the film who had such an impact on you, and because of her testimony, you were inspired to develop that amniotic membrane lens. How is she doing today, and do you still keep in contact?
We are reestablishing contact now. Two things happened in Kajal. Number one, she has helped all of us to realize that there are two kinds of sight, the physical sight, also emotional sight. She has shown that even when there's no light coming from outside, light could emanate from within, still find room in her heart to love others if one has love, if one has Christ in one's heart. And that's the remarkable story of Kajal and shown in the film Sight. And also, we found three families to adopt her, but the U.S. immigration rules is that she has no relatives here, so she was not allowed to stay. Even though I found three adopting families. So she had to return to India. And now recently I heard, and I'm in the process of reestablishing contact with her, is her trip to America, the Help Bio Foundation, has fundamentally changed her because she once again felt love by others towards her. So after she returned to India, she went to university and then she even got a master's degree. What a amazing transformation of this young lady's life from being a five-year-old orphan who was intentionally blinded so they can make her sing on the street, get more money from tourists. So that shows that Kajal taught a lesson to all of us. There's more to this life than what we see.
What a testimony. Thank you so much for being an example of what it means to be a Christian and giving back.
Thank you, Crystal, once again for the opportunity.